This year is going to be a very strange Christmas for all of us, isn't it? Imagine if you were to go back in time to 1 year from today, and you were to have a conversation with yourself then. How might that chat go? You know, if you were to talk about Christmas plans, you'd be saying, well, you know, pick up some protective masks now and some hand sanitizer, because your last minute Christmas shopping, you're going to be kicking yourself if you don't have those. You'll be saying, you know, why not invest in Zoom now? Get some of their stock on your portfolio, because it's going to be a good year for them. Oh, and those flights that you saved for, maybe start looking into refund options now and just get ahead of the curve on that one. Or can you imagine trying to explain all of the strange measures and policies that is allowing Christmas to go ahead safely this year? Try explaining to yourself a year ago that you've been waiting for news as to whether or not it will be legal for you to see your family. And then the 12 days of Christmas has been subbed out for the 5 days of Christmas. And now you're kind of frantically working out which sibling isn't going to be able to spend Christmas with you this year. And then can you imagine trying to explain the suffering that has taken place in 2020? The countless dead from the virus. The job loss and redundancies taken. The cancelled appointments and diagnoses. The loneliness that has spread through the nation. It would sound like really the very strangest Christmas if you were to talk to yourself about it a year ago. But of course, when we talk about strange Christmases, there's probably one that is even a little bit stranger. And that's that first Christmas. That really takes the crown on strange Christmases. An angel visiting a young woman in Galilee, telling her that God is going to be born to her. It's weird, right? To understand this, we're going to have to go back to the beginning. We're going to have to see that this world has quite a strange problem, and that a strange Christmas was actually the strange solution to this problem. Well, it's certainly not hard when we think about the strange problem of this world to see it all around us. It's a world in crisis, isn't it? It's not the way that it should be. Christians believe that the world was created perfect and good. But we look around today and we look back throughout history. Well, it's not good, is it? From pandemics to political division, from desperate poverty to racial tensions, from corruption and power grabbing to the fact that you don't need to teach a child how to lie. This world on an individual, corporate, and natural level is not the way that it should be. It is not good. The strange problem of this world, the reason for this strange sense that we have that this world is not the way that it should be, is because of what the Bible calls sin. Sin is the rejection of God as the ruler of our life. We instead would prefer to be in charge. We say no thanks to our Creator, and instead we try and go it on our own. The problem with this is that we fail to rule ourselves. We just create a mess, don't we? We hurt each other, we value the things that we shouldn't, and we devalue the things that we should. We even hold others to higher moral standards than we can attain for ourselves. And this leaves us alienated from God, not able to have a relationship with Him. It's an even bigger problem when we even think about what our own attempts amount to put this broken relationship right, to solve this strange problem. Perhaps if I make an honest effort to be good, or if I try my hardest, well, God can't hold that against me. Well, if we could fix the strange problem of this world with that, then it wouldn't be much of a problem. But as it is, we cannot overcome bad with good. In the same way that a vaccine only delays the inevitable, so too can we not, we can't beat back death without by just living a bit better. The strange problem of this world required a strange solution. The strange solution is what we celebrate at Christmas. It's that strange first Christmas and what was spoken about in our readings. God, in his love, doesn't leave us in this strange problem, in the strange crisis of the human condition. No, he provides a way to life. Imagine it, you're Mary, a young Jewish girl, going about your business, betrothed to Joseph, finishing off some wedding planning, making sure you've got all the cousins invited, when an angel of the Lord, appears in front of you and says, "Greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you." Well, the next verse says that Mary was greatly troubled. And that might be a bit of an understatement, mightn't it? An angel has just appeared. She's here thinking, is this going to be a good thing or a bad thing? I hope it's a good thing, but even when it's a good thing, it might be a bit annoying. I might have to change some wedding plans here. And when God gives angels messages to send, well, it's pretty rare that people listen. And, you know, if I'm supposed to, you know, go and do some work for God, well, people might get a bit weird around me. They might not be very comfortable. But the angel quickly says, "Don't be afraid. You found favor with God, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and have a son, and you'll call him Jesus. He will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary at this point is probably thinking, well, that's all very well and good, but Angel Gabriel, sir, we've kind of skipped over quite an essential part of the plan here. I'm a virgin? Well, the angel says that nothing is impossible with God. To prove that, your cousin Elizabeth, well, you know, everyone thought that she couldn't have kids. Well, she's going to have a child, and your child shall be born, and he will be called Holy, Son of God. Well, sure enough, cousin Elizabeth has the child, and Mary also, who was a virgin, becomes pregnant. And then we have in our readings Mary's reaction to this strange solution. "All generations will call me blessed. God has done mighty and great things. He is holy, merciful. He scatters the proud. He has brought down the mighty. He has exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry." And how is this all accomplished? By the birth of a baby? It's a strange solution. And strange that Mary would even recognize it as a solution. How does Jesus, a baby, overthrow and conquer evil? How does he crush sinfulness and give salvation? How is a baby the prophet that is needed to show people the truth and point them back to God? How is a baby the priest needed to intercede between God and humanity? How is a baby the king that's needed to rightly rule over all the earth and in each human heart? How is the strange solution to the strange problems of this world? Well, Jesus had to be two things. He had to be completely human, and he was. As the Son of God, God himself became flesh. He alone can identify with us, and he did exactly that. The Christmas song, "Away in a Manger," is kind of lying when it says that Jesus didn't cry. J- Jesus would have cried as a baby. He absolutely would have. In fact, he even cried as an adult. He got hungry. He grew tired. He fell asleep. In all of this, Jesus was completely like us. One of us. Human. And this meant that he was tempted in every possible way that we are. And yet he didn't disobey God. He lived completely under God's rule, always loving him as he should. He never hurt, he never lied, he never cheated, he never abused, he never lusted. He was completely without sin. And that is because he himself was completely God. God himself, not a distant, far-off ruler, not an enemy in the sky, but God come down. Jesus, fully God, fully man, completely human, completely divine, living in this world and never succumbing to sin. And the answer that he provides for the strangeness of this world, the solution is that this baby grows to be a man who is then killed. The death of a criminal on the cross, beaten, whipped, and hung there to die. The only person to never deserve death died, and in doing so, he took our place. He took the punishment that was meant for us, for our strange problem, the consequences of the problem of sin. The Bible puts it like this: for our sake, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. His blood was shed instead of ours, the sinless dying for the sinful. If Jesus had not been man, then he wouldn't have been able to take the punishment on the cross. He couldn't truly identify with us. If he'd not been God, well then his sacrifice wouldn't have been sufficient to be in our place. If you imagine each of us wearing a perfectly crisp white t-shirt our entire life, but every time we say, do, or think something that's wrong, something that's sinful, well, it gets written on our t-shirt. And then as we go through life, our t-shirt gets more and more and more graffitied. What would your shirt look like? I know that mine would be covered in graffiti. Mine would not be white. There probably wouldn't be any white showing on it. Well, Jesus says, have my shirt, my perfectly white shirt. I'll take yours. The strange solution to the problem of sin was not that we would somehow overcome sin through our own strength, not that we would somehow reach out to God in our own greatness. The strange solution to the strange problem is that God would stoop down. God is the eternal God who was born where they kept animals. Not a distant, withdrawn God. God is humble, giving. He is a giving God, not a selfish, grabbing God. God is a purposeful, planning God, not a random, reactionary God. God is a God who is far above us and whose ways are a mystery to us. He's not a God that we can put in a box and can control. And God is a God who redeems us by his blood. Not a God who leaves us in our sin. Our God is great indeed. And of course, if Jesus had stayed dead, then it really would have undermined the strange solution to the strange problem. But Jesus was raised again to new life, conquering death completely, crushing sin and its consequences. The Bible says that one day Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead, which means we're all faced with the simple choice of trusting in Jesus or not. Trusting him as the strange answer to the strange problem of this world. Trusting him, believing that the very first, the strangest Christmas provides a way for us to make sense of the strangeness of this world. And as your Christmas this year is probably one of the strangest that you can imagine, I'd encourage you, what makes sense of this strangeness if not the first strange Christmas? Amen.